It's oft been said that if content were easy to access and pay for, then people wouldn't steal it. So, after years of struggling with music piracy, the industry placed its faith in online subscription services like Spotify and Pandora. Drop $10 or so a month for unlimited songs, or listen for free if you don't mind the advertising, and you get access to hundreds of thousands of songs. But a decade on, streaming music appears to be a triumph of hope over experience, and Tim Carmody, who writes for The Verge, says that streaming services are clinging to the belief that profitability is just over the next hill.
These companies have been willing to operate at a loss with the idea that once they build up the subscriber base, then you get enough total revenue coming in. You get bulk listeners for the advertising, bulk subscriptions that you can actually make big volume deals with record labels. So everybody's been operating under the idea that the money will come eventually.
And just like your TiVo knows that you're gay, your streaming service knows that you like R&B or indie rock.
And with that, it can suggest new music. And if it's an ad-supported service, target some ads.
You suggested so far that they're just trying to build an audience and worrying about profitability later.
Mm-hmm.
But investors aren't going to wait forever, are they?
There's been more than $600 million invested in these companies just in the last year. The real danger for these companies is there are giants lurking around the corner. There are Apples, there are Googles, there are Twitters, there are Amazons that are increasingly interested in getting involved in music streaming. They see its possibility as a service, if not necessarily as a business. How long will they be able to wait before one of these giants comes along and gobbles up the market?
You suggest that the biggest stumbling block at the moment is the royalty fees that the likes of Pandora and Spotify have to pay to the record labels. They say it's just breaking their back.
Customers are extremely price sensitive with streaming music. So what Spotify and Pandora and other streaming services are trying to do is they're trying to offer their entire catalogs as low a price point as possible. And they can't do that with paying an equally high rate to the studios.
Spotify pays 70% of its revenues to the labels.
It's easily Spotify's biggest cost. And so if there's going to be some room for profit there, that margin will have to come down.
And the labels say that, well, no, they're not demanding too much. It's that the Pandoras of the world are so worried about what the consumer will pay that they're keeping their prices artificially low to build a critical mass of customers. Are they right?
Well, to a certain extent, I think they are. But the question is whether or not the market will still be there if you don't have that price set as low as it's been set. The question is if you move too far off that sort of $8 a month Netflix magic zone, you know, the single dollar digit range per month, if you move too far above that, what percentage of customers do you lose?
The tension between the record labels and the streaming services reminds me of the Israelis and the Palestinians. Everybody benefits from a negotiated settlement, right? And yet nobody is willing to make a compromise of essential demands. Why hasn't it come to pass that the labels lower their royalty demands by, you know, some significant number of percentage points, and the streaming services agree to raise their subscription fees to $13 a month plus, you know, a handful of ads?
Really, what I think has happened is everyone's overvalued their assets. And to a certain extent, they're all waiting for somebody else to blink first. And the last person to blink is probably going to be the consumer because, again, you're competing against free and you're competing against even forms of digital music that are much more tested and reliable in the consumer's mind.
Here's a question I like to ask, although it's entirely unfair.
Those are my favorite kind.
And premised on a fantasy. What's going to happen?
What I think is probably the most likely thing that will happen is that someone, whether it's an Apple or a Google or an Amazon or a Sony, comes along and essentially agrees that we're going to run music at a loss and we're going to support it with these other businesses that we do. In the case of Apple, if it's electronics hardware, in case of Google, it's advertising and search and software services, Amazon, it's retail and so forth. but we are going to provide this service to add value to the devices and the other services that we're running at.
Not unprecedented. In your piece, you point out that Apple did iTunes essentially as a loss leader. They didn't make a whole lot of money on downloads, but they sold a lot of iPods.
Mm-hmm.
And Walmart sold CDs for just about nothing to get people into the stores to buy
tube socks, you know, anything. So if Apple comes out with the streaming service that we expect that they'll come out with, iRadio will be a version of iTunes, and Amazon's version, if they do a version, will be something more like Walmart. It's a great solution to this problem. How do you make money on the music business? Don't make money on the music business. That's the answer to that question.
Tim, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tim Carmody is a senior writer for TheVerge.com.